Okay, we've got some really, really, really big news today. The news is that the fourth biggest company in the world, which is Microsoft, is now voting on a proposal whether or not they should add Bitcoin to their balance sheet. Now, again, it doesn't matter whether they do or don't add Bitcoin to their balance sheet, but the fact that Microsoft, a corporation that is the fourth biggest company in the world, is thinking of adding Bitcoin to their balance sheet is massive news. And today we're going to discuss how big the news is and what's going to happen with that vote. Also, we're going to talk about my ETH situation because I'm still holding ETH and I see the ETH SOL chart. I mean, you can have a look at the ETH SOL chart over here, SOL ETH chart. It looks like SOL is running away. SOL is running away from ETH, but I have too much SOL and I'm too worried that if I put more money into SOL, that it's a little bit negligent. So today I'm going to bring three of my friends and we're going to discuss where I should take my money and put it. And let me tell you, the tokens that they tell you will blow your minds, guys. It's going to be huge. It's a huge day today. It's a Friday, big banter. Let's get going, guys. Bang, bang, bang. Destroy that like button as quickly as possible. I don't have time for introductions today because there's so much to talk about. I'm counting on you to destroy the like button. I will do the rest. And today we've got some big, big, big news for you. As I said, the news is that Microsoft Corporation, the fourth biggest company in the world today, is now voting on whether or not they should be adding Bitcoin to assessment of investing in Bitcoin. And they will be voting on this at their December 10th shareholder meetings. Now, I mean, there is a side note to this. And the side note to this is that the board believes that they should not do it. So in an SEC filing that afternoon, Microsoft disclosed that they will do it. But the board, Microsoft board explains it recommends a vote against the proposal because it's unnecessary since Microsoft management already has carefully considered this topic. Microsoft Global Treasury and Investment Services evaluates a wide range of investable assets to fund Microsoft's ongoing operations, including assets expected to provide diversification from inflation. Now, the reason why they proposed this in the first place, if you read the filing, and specifically if you read it in this document over here, it says supporting documents, because there was a document that said that they should be voting. There was the supporting document, and they said, look, In periods of consistent and often rampant inflation, a company's financial standing is unfortunately measured not only by how well it conducts its business, but also how well it stores the profits from the business. They're saying the average inflation in the United States in the last 4 years, according to CPI, has been over 5%, peaking at 9.1%, which we know about. And they have $484 billion worth of assets, right? And what they're saying is, in inflationary times like this, they want to be investing in Bitcoin. Now, look. Chances are that the board is going to vote against this on the 10th of December. And I mean, if you are a shareholder in Microsoft, you may want to go and fill in this form so that you can actually vote. Doesn't matter though. The fact that the fourth biggest company in the world is thinking, even the fact that it's just on their radar, tells you how far Bitcoin's actually come. And if you compare that and you add that the Paul Tudor Jones interview, which we watched a few times this week, where he says that all roads actually lead to inflation, and the outcome of this election is irrelevant because all roads actually land up leading to inflation. And when there is inflation, what you want to be holding is, you want to be holding Bitcoin, you want to be holding gold, you want to be holding silver. And he said, and commodities. And so, well, I guess the fact that Microsoft is thinking about it kind of shows us that there may be many other companies considering it. What we saw in terms of price, well, the price actually of Bitcoin did go up last night a little bit on the news. I mean, I guess then people discounted the fact that, hold on a second, this is not really going to pass. I mean, the price nearly went up to 69,000 last night when this news came out. But I think the market realizes that it's not really going to happen. And as I think I read a tweet here, there was a tweet, and the tweet said, look, just the fact that they're even thinking about this is good enough news in itself. And in time, eventually, either a Microsoft or an Apple or an Amazon or an Nvidia, because these companies are sitting on so much cash, they'll actually consider. I mean, just have a look at this. How much cash is Apple sitting on? I mean, can you say that to Google? $167 billion in cash and investments. So just imagine that they just take $10 billion, which is a small part of their treasury, and put it into Bitcoin. So I think this is going to become the trend. And this is massive news. And again, the market hasn't really responded to that. When the market does respond to that at some point, and it will, then I think we're going to get a massive explosion to the upside. So all my positions, super, super bullish. As you can see, if you look at my Bybit trading competition, I think I'm second, actually. I think I'm actually coming second. Let's quickly have a look at where I am, World Series of Trading. I think I'm coming second at the moment. Congratulations to any of you. If you took any of the trades from yesterday's show, the Nasana trade, the Parcel trade, the D-Bridge trade, for those who are in front runners, well done. I know a lot of you guys actually did land up taking the thing. Just a couple of reminders. So first of all, for those people that are in front runners, we have managed to do something absolutely amazing, which I reported in front runners. We've managed to get you guys discounted exchange trading fees for any member of front runners. So that means that for as long as you're a member of front runners, you give us your user ID, that user ID will get reduced trading fees. And the reduced trading fees are quite big. They're between 10 and 50%, depending on the exchange. So, and depending on your tier. And I mean, I've been working very, very, very hard for months and months and months to get our exchange partners to actually give you guys this kind of discount. If you're not already a member of Front Runners, there is a link in the below. Click the link, join us. Not only do you get discounts on trading fees, not only do you get free conference tickets, we've negotiated a free conference ticket deal. There's a lot of deals that we're bringing the Front Runners, and of course, amazing calls. All right, listen. That's the big news. That's front runners. One last thing. Remember that today we're going to be talking about what I should do with my ETH money. I don't want to be holding ETH anymore. I want to be taking it out, but I've got too much exposure in Sol, and I want to put my money elsewhere. So today we're going to be talking about where I should put my money. I've got an amazing panel for you guys. It is our Friday banter. Remember that our Friday banters are always brought to you by NordVPN, the amazing people at NordVPN. These are the guys that actually keep us safe. There's a link below. Sign up to NordVPN, because if you don't sign up to NordVPN, you are pretty much giving away your IP address every single time. And there's my IP address just listed on the screen. Can you believe it? And that's because my VPN isn't on, because I'm on the work computer. What you guys need to do is sign up with a VPN. It costs $3 to protect yourself and to surf absolutely anonymously and make sure that hackers and governments don't land up getting your IP address and your details into their filthy hands. Do that. Going to cost you less than $3 a month. If you're a member of Front Runners, there is a big deal coming on NordVPN for you guys. So the truth is that I actually don't know what's bigger news in the market this week. I don't know if it's the fact that we have this GO token that's gone to a valuation of close to $1 billion, or the fact that the elections are just 12 days away. So I'm going to bring my guests on and we'll discuss what is actually bigger news, the fact that there is an AI shilling a token this week, or that the elections are 12 days away. What's bigger news? The fact that there's a GO token at $1 billion, or the fact that the elections are 11 days away?
It's got to be elections, really. It's got to be elections. I mean, I don't know if GO is going to be a flash in the pan, but elections are, you know, they're going to have potentially structural changes to crypto.
Well, do you think so? Because, I mean, most of the people that I've spoken to in the past coming weeks basically said, look, obviously Trump's a little bit more bullish for Bitcoin, but actually Kamala's not bearish for Bitcoin. I think that, you know, some people believe that she may be a little bit more favorable, and that, you know, either way, the outcome is going to be election. In fact, inflation. In fact, I don't know if you saw this, but Paul Tudor Jones was actually on an interview. I just want to quickly play for you what he said on that interview.
Are you off buying gold and Bitcoin and
hiding somewhere? I think all roads lead to inflation. We're going to end up.
But does all roads lead to inflation, therefore gold is a good investment? Is Bitcoin a good investment to you?
I'm long gold. I'm long Bitcoin. I think commodities are so ridiculously underowned. So I'm long commodities. I think most young people find their inflation hedges via the NASDAQ. That's also been great.
So, he's saying all roads lead to inflation. You can kind of see it in the gold price. You can see it in the silver price. Everything's like ready for inflation. So how big is this? How big are the elections really?
Depends just how much you believe. It depends what he's going to do, right? If he goes out there and makes Bitcoin a reserve currency and goes out there and starts buying Bitcoin, that's just like a massive, massive like change in current like U.S. economic stance on Bitcoin, and Pamela hasn't even touched on that. It just depends whether you believe that's going to happen or not. But if it does, that's like complete game changer for not just Bitcoin, but as a whole.
I don't know if Trump said he's going to buy Bitcoin, but he certainly said that he's going to hold all the Bitcoin that the government have got in the beginning of what was, he didn't say strategic reserve, but he used some fancy terminology. Mando, what do you think? Like, how important are these elections? What are you expecting in the next 11 days?
I actually think the election will provide the impetus to kind of get us above all-time highs. I think we've been ranging, obviously, for like 9 months now, and we've touched that 71K area like a dozen times, right? So you need like a bit of momentum for that to happen. I think the election probably provides that. But I don't think Bitcoin is necessarily a political trade. I think it's more a monetary trade. And I think what you said at the start there, which is why Paul Tudor Jones or various other like famous investors have been out even in the last couple of weeks pointing the idea that Bitcoin seems like a strong long alongside gold. Druckenmiller, I think, was on CNBC or Bloomberg saying the same thing. Like, global liquidity is now turning back up high. You're starting to see M2 growth, particularly coming out of what's going on in China and a few of the other Asian economies. Obviously, the US isn't quite in the QE phase. It's just coming out of the quantitative tightening phase. But there's been some backdoor printing for the banks. But I think global liquidity is going back higher again. Bitcoin's a good trade whether the election goes either way, in my opinion. Altcoins are a little bit more difficult, I think, because I think some of the altcoins are more of a regulation trade in the US. You probably, for them to really like reach peak users, you need to have some sort of crypto policy being pushed through in the US, which maybe favors Trump. But for me, Bitcoin kind of goes higher, whatever happens here.
Santi, any views on the election?
I mean, I've said it time and time again. For me, once it was sort of very clear to me that he was going to win, I stopped paying attention to prediction markets, predicted Polymarket as much as I was an early investor in Polymarket. I think there's a lot of noise. I hope, obviously, one candidate is better than the other for the industry. But tactically speaking, like I don't necessarily want to do crazy stuff going into the election. Like, I've already positioned before that. I think there's going to be vol. The market's nervous. No matter what the outcome is, historically elections, like you typically get a relief rally. This is like in traditional markets, you normally get a relief rally. Just the market hates uncertainty, and so once you have that, so I was quite bullish to just going into Q4, Q1 of next year, regardless of the outcome. But I still believed back then and still do like throughout that Trump is going to win.
So why do you think there's such a mismatch between the Polymarket odds and the odds on other platforms, specifically like Nate Silver's odds are pretty much at 50-50, maybe slightly towards Trump. But Polymarket is, what's the discrepancy here? Why is Polymarket such a pointing to such a big victory by Trump and all the other odds pointing to pretty much an equal race?
Some people might argue that the people that are betting on Polymarket are crypto natives, and crypto natives are expressing their implicit bias. My counter argument to that is, well, but they're rational people, so why would they lose? Like, why would they burn money, right? But I guess there is some perhaps marginal truth to that. Although this disparity has only accentuated like in the last couple of weeks. Before then, there were like predicted and Polymarket, I believe, were more tightly, like the spread between those two was actually quite tight. Now it's blown out a bit. And I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. Maybe others have a better theory.
Okay. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. I guess in 11 days, we'll know the result. I mean, my view is that if Trump wins, I think we get an $80,000 Bitcoin almost immediately. I think if Kamala wins, then, you know, I think we get a little bit of a dip, and then people just realize that Bitcoin's still producing blocks every single day. And I don't think that much happens, but it's just going to be, I think the real pain if Kamala wins is having to live watching her on TV every single day for 4 years. I'm struggling with that problem now. And so I think, you know, having that for the next 4 years is actually, for me, like, that's the real problem. Anyway, let's move on. We've got a couple of things that I want to talk about. I think the first thing I want to talk about is Solana versus ETH. So I know that we're all Solana bulls. Santi, I'm going to pull up one of your tweets where you said every cycle has a new base asset, Bitcoin to ETH, ETH to Sol. I've also been, you know, seeing the share of mind, and you can see Solana's really growing up in share of mind. People are saying Solana's the super cycle is happening on Solana. There is a super cycle. You were just on the wrong chain. So, I mean, is this the Solana super cycle? And if this is the Solana super cycle, does ETH have any hope in this cycle, or is this like the end of ETH? And when I say the end of ETH, I don't mean the end of ETH the chain, but I mean, I looked at this and I saw the rotation from ETH to SOL. And I mean, this is aggressive. Like, there's an aggressive rotation from out of ETH into SOL all of a sudden. How you guys, I mean, is there a contrarian trade to actually be taking up in ETH at the moment? Santi, I'm very keen to hear your thoughts here.
I mean, look, I think the market pendulum swims to extremes, right? From extreme optimism to pessimism. You could argue that ETH is clearly out of favor. Is there going to be some like mean reversion? Like, once we get more liquidity in, I think you could argue everything goes up. Just, we haven't been in a state where liquidity has been like, we haven't had much liquidity under the system. So it's very, this money is moving around, right? So your question, in a scenario where, going back to the election and into next year, if you believe the liquidity enters the system, every asset's going to do well, even the shittiest of assets, the Cardanos of the world. The question is, as an investor, what outperforms? I continue to believe that SOL is just structurally, long-term, a better chain. It's just, it provides a better experience. It provides a better onboarding experience for users. That's where most of the crypto, like the most exciting crypto projects, are deciding to build upon. Is it perfect? No. But, you know, they're cooking. Like, I think Firedancer was a major milestone that was announced in Breakpoint. I don't think the market really truly appreciates that. And rightfully so. Like, you need to see it in production. I think, you know, it's very exciting. But these things kind of take time for the market to absorb. But, yeah, like, gun to my head, yeah, I don't feel compelled to own ETH, even though near term it might have this sort of like, you know, reversion of the mean, because it has been very, very out of favor, I'd say.
Okay, but I mean, what about the argument that right now all the activity on SOL is happening around meme coins? I think we all agree fundamentally. You're saying not all the activity?
Absolutely not. No. That's fallacy. I mean, yeah, Pumped On Fun is obviously, you know, and you know, stuff like Wave, Popcat. You know, a lot of this stuff is certainly like getting a lot of attention, but don't fade Deepin, don't fade DeFi in Solana. You know, those things are pretty exciting.
Guys, what do you think? I mean, is there any hope for ETH, Ovi?
I don't know. I think I really go back and forth on this, because I've obviously been long a lot of components of the Solana ecosystem this year, but I've kept like a reasonable amount in ETH as well. I haven't completely ditched ETH.
Santi, have you ditched ETH? Have you like? Are you out? Are you out of ETH?
I don't own. I own very little ETH in the portfolio. I will say most of my portfolios, I still, as an ecosystem, I have a lot of it. The majority of my exposure continues to be in ETH because of venture investments. Like, these are mostly L2s, projects that are being built. So for me, those are levered bets on ETH, right?
But you don't need to own ETH, the base asset. You don't need to own the base asset.
That was the point I was actually trying to make. Like, you know, you could say reasonably, hey, even if there's still really good projects, like Base is an interesting ecosystem. You know, there's L2s that are like Arbitrum has a lot of activity. So like, I wouldn't fade that. I'm an investor in those. I just think from an exposure perspective, because I've done the venture investments, I would still own, like, if you believe ETH will do well, the L2s probably do better.
Okay.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Ovi, back to you. So you haven't let go of your ETH bag, you said.
I'm still holding some ETH. Like, it's a minority part of my portfolio, but I'm not like completely zero ETH. I think you could have had a similar argument perhaps for Bitcoin in the 21 cycle. You know, ETH was the crazy thing. NFTs were all the rage, just like meme coins are now. And people were like, oh, what's the point in Bitcoin, right? And then come back next cycle, suddenly Bitcoin has all these properties and values people only became awake to this cycle post the ETF era. So I don't think, like, for me, I'm not writing off ETH. I do think it's probably not going to be the best performer this cycle. Like, I think I'm aware of that, but I'm not writing it off because, as you know, as you said, there's like tons of activity happening across the range and spectrum of L2s. And it's just like not really my nature to. My nature is more to buy things that have underperformed and sit on them and wait for the outperformance than to chase momentum. But again, I say that, and ETH is still a minority part of my portfolio, and I just haven't focused on anything on ETH apart from owning like two meme coins, and that's it. So
I find my relationship with ETH in my portfolio abusive. I keep holding it, and every time I think it's going to get better, and it just gets worse, and then I still keep holding it. And every time I want to jump to Sol, I'm like, you know, I'll tell you what my problem is. My problem is that I just have too much Sol exposure in my portfolio. And I'm just worried that, you know, I've been in this position before where one token was over 50% of my portfolio. That was Luna. And I know Luna, you can argue that Luna and Sol are very different, but maybe it's PTSD. I just don't want to be too exposed to one ecosystem. And then the question then becomes, if, you know, I've got enough Bitcoin, I don't want to really be in ETH. I've got a lot of exposure to the Sol ecosystem. Then where do I put the rest of my exposure? Where else do you put money into real quality if you're trying to stay, you know, you've got too much exposure to Sol and you know, you don't really want that much exposure to ETH. If any of you have any ideas, I'd really appreciate the advice. I've got a good chunk of my portfolio that I want to get out of.
I think Bitcoin, surely. Like we're talking about ETH, but I think the trade really should be, do you want to have it in Sol or Bitcoin, right, this cycle? That's what I genuinely think is the more question. We've kind of danced about it just now, but ETH, the issue about it is it's moved. Last cycle, ETH was money. People were spending it on things like NFTs, and progressively it's moved more towards the burn dynamic, and because of the way the L2s are, they're not even burning that much, and it's not even going to be potentially even the gas tokens on these L2s. Like ETH is, with each progressive step, feels like it's moving away from money more and more, and people are not spending. Like, when was the last time you bought something with ETH? It happens a fraction compared to this cycle compared to last cycle. I do think it can come back, but like the idea of like a meme reversion, it's just not the time to do that, in my opinion. Like, so, I think we've been waiting 9 months for us to get out of this range. You should be letting your winners ride at this point. I think the winners will continue to outperform. The ones that have outperformed in the first half of this cycle are going to continue to outperform. I think Solana and Bitcoin would be the two.
So, I mean, help me here. Like, what do I do? I want to get out of ETH. I'm telling you, I want to get out of ETH. I can't take on any more Sol exposure. I've got quite a bit of exposure to Bitcoin, probably equal to my Sol exposure. Like, where would you put the money?
I think ETH memes are actually not terrible as a trade. Now, like, just let me finish here. Is that, I think there's a bunch of trapped longs in ETH. There's a ton of trapped TVL in ETH, and there's not that many meme coins. There's not that many top meme coins. And so, like, if you're all speaking to the Bankless guys or any of the other ETH maxis, sometimes they'll say, oh, yeah, maybe I'll look at an ETH meme, right? They do not want to bridge this.
I can't take money out of ETH and put it into memes. Like, that's just, I'm drastically altering the risk profile of my entire portfolio. And my, you know, also my thesis is that memes are here for a short time, not for a long time. And yeah, we can get into that discussion, but I just think that memes aren't here to stay. And therefore I don't want to be, you know, there'll be a great interest cycle play, but I don't want to be left holding the bag like I was left holding the bag of NFTs in the last cycle. I've got a bag of great NFTs if anybody wants them.
The other pitch I would give was maybe Coinbase stock. Like, I've, I think Coinbase enough. Is another, mate, all right, well. Yeah. It's a pitch.
Santi, I want to hear your view here, sir.
I want to go back to something Mondo said earlier, which I certainly think is very true. It sounds like we all agree that we're entering, you know, we've been in a fairly bullish market, even though liquidity hasn't, you know, in China, there was a liquidity injection, but not enough, right? If we all believe that we're entering a bull market, 2025 is going to be good. At the beginning and throughout most of the bull market, you want to just back the fastest horse. And I think the market understands what those are. Like, I almost think of an extreme barbell portfolio. You want to have Bitcoin always. You know, I don't think you ever fade Bitcoin. But you want to pick the fastest horse. And for me, it's Solana. And then, you know, whether you have the tolerance to, or the, you know, to invest in meme coins, then those can be, the reason why I like meme coins is they can be interesting levered bets on a particular ecosystem without the risk of being liquidated, and with massive amounts of liquidity come in and out of the trade, which is very important, particularly in the later stages of bull market. Just a cycle, sorry.
Okay, so I hear you, and I do have a little bit of exposure to meme coins. My problem with having a big exposure to meme coins is that my fundamental thesis is that at the end of the cycle, meme coins are going to do what NFTs did at the end of last cycle. And the reason why I say that is because I hear the same people using the same terminology trying to sell me a different coin. It's a cult. It's a club. It's a near religion. It's a solution for loneliness. It's a sense of acceptance. It is a movement. I heard that all with NFTs. And I ended up buying a lot of these NFTs. I bought some very nice pictures of dogs and pictures of apes, and I've got lots of those. And I paid obscene amounts of money for some of them. And at the end of the cycle, what I realized was that there wasn't really a club, and there wasn't really a cult, and it wasn't really a religion. And
because there wasn't enough liquidity, man. Like, look at Doge. I would say, of course, their survivability bias in meme coins, like very few of these actually, if you look at the pump up fund data, very few actually break out. But I would argue, like, historically in prior cycles, now you can argue maybe this cycle is going to be different. I don't know. But the true staying power, like the dominant blue chip memes, is called those, like Doge, Sheeb, Pepe, like particularly, like look at Doge and look at Sheeb and what they did through cycle. Like, they didn't go to zero. I wouldn't bucket them as the category of NFTs. Like, I hate to say it, but like, you know, I was investing in DeFi, and you're like, okay, you know, obviously there was a full DeFi summer and it was great, but you could have invested in a meme and like Doge and outperformed. And by the way, the drawdown is less severe in Doge than a lot of DeFi projects.
So
it's just, look, product market fit of the category is very strong. In a perfect world, you buy like a meme index, like as a meme, Murad has, I think, done this analysis, but like meme coins as a percentage of crypto market cap, and like go along that structurally and not have to pick a particular like sub, like the sub 200, sub $100 million meme coins. Yeah, there's a lot of risk of it just never taking off. But look at the meme coins that have survived a very severe drawdown, meaning 70, like, and Whiff had this, Popcat had this, SPX is going through this and kind of has done that. Like, Goat kind of did that over the weekend when people thought like the Goat, the truth of terminals made a mistake. Like, again, I'm not giving particular advice on the particular coins, but I would look at those coins that have like lasting power, because there's only very few that actually have, but as a category, it has very strong product market fit. It always has.
And
whether you love it or hate it, but it's here to stay. It's not going away. It might even grow, actually.
So why will it be? So are you saying that the only difference between that and why NFTs never survived is because NFTs, there was no liquidity. But at the end of the cycle,
meme coins are fungible tokens with emotional cachet of NFTs.
Okay, say that again slowly.
Meme coins. So what you liked about NFTs is like this, it has more meaning to own a picture of a punk or whatever. Like, it has emotional cachet, right? Like, yes. Collecting stuff.
Yes.
But it doesn't have liquidity. And the audience of it, by the way, not everyone can afford to buy a particular certain NFT once it gets to a certain threshold. Mm-hmm. Now you can talk about fractionalizing it, but there's friction. There's no friction with meme coins. They're fungible, but they're fun. They're lottery tickets. But they are lottery tickets with, I would argue, positive EV, because you get the entertainment value. And that,
okay.
You look at data on lotteries and the percentage that people spend on it across the world, it is a vastly well-established category. You know, I hate to say it, but I think the world is more unequal. People, especially younger generations, are more interested in like moon to dust philosophy. Like, they don't care about punting something, Apple stock. They don't want that. They don't care about the law of 72, doubling your, an 8% compounding things. No, they want what you could have argued before, GameStop or punting biotech stocks. That's just structurally how the market has become, not just crypto, but just also traditional markets. And so I just observe that. And that's why I think meme coins as a category will continue to be important. And relative to lottery tickets or, you know, particular stock, a meme coin has just just more entertainment value. It has more, it has the community aspect of it. Some of these Discords are bumping, and that,
so maybe I have maybe I have PTSD from NFTs. Maybe my whole problem here is that you know, sometimes the fools are the ones that make money, because they come into a market and they haven't got the experience that we've got, where we bought the NFTs and we landed up holding the bags. Ovi, what do you think? I saw you nodding on a lot of things that Santi said.
Yeah, I completely agree with Santi. I mean, another thing, it goes back again to the same concept of back the fastest horse. And I think meme coins have shown their hand this cycle. And if you believe we're still early in this cycle, I don't think that momentum runs out. Now, the comparison of NFTs in 21 to meme coins this cycle, I actually think is a good comparison. But just like with NFTs of 2021, you have to pick the right NFTs and you have to pick the right meme coins. There are literally millions of meme coins that are coming out every single day, and it doesn't mean they're all the right ones, right? But there's probably an established subset of, let's say, like 20 to 30, possibly more meme coins that continue to do well. I think it's easy to say, oh, but all my NFTs went to zero. But I mean, look, like, there was tons of liquidity on Blur for NFTs all throughout 2022 and throughout 2023. I mean, we know, Mando and I sold all our apes on Blur, and we were able to do it without really moving the price. So I think there's like a difference to be made between all my NFTs went to zero and I didn't sell my NFTs.
That's why I said intra-cycle and inter-cycle. Intra-cycle, I agree, I'm going to make a lot of money, and I am making a lot of money on memes. But intercycle, which is where I hold my ETH bags and my Solana bags and my Bitcoin bags, that's where I'm scared to behold lifting the meme. That's where I'm scared to behold lifting the meme bags. Yeah.
Yeah. Mando, I understand. Go ahead.
Santi?
I
was going to say, maybe someone in your team or you at one point, like plot Doge and ETH and Bitcoin through cycle, observe that beta.
Okay. That's a sample size of one. Doge is a sample size of one. And it's not a real, it's not really a good sample, because the richest man in the world, who also coincidentally owns one of the biggest social network distribution networks in the world, is a big Doge proponent. And people are speculating that Doge may become a currency of Twitter at some point. So Doge is like, as much as I want to say that Doge is just a meme, it's not really just a meme. Like, it's not a meme. Doge is not a meme. It's an option on a payment currency for one of the biggest social platforms in the world, which is backed by the richest man in the world, who's also a bit of a nutcase and sometimes just does things for fun. And he may do this. And that's why people are allocating such a high probability to it. There is meme aspect to it, but it's not a meme coin.
Sounds like you just did a perfect pitch for Doge, owning Doge in your portfolio and selling your ETH. But
I do have Doge. I do have Doge. I do have Doge. I do have Doge. Mando, what do you think, bro? Help me out, Joe. Are you going to be holding a bag of meme coins in intercycle into the next cycle?
I think what you touched upon is fair about crypto in general. Like, a lot of assets have like a life cycle. Like Doge and SHIB haven't even had a good cycle this cycle, right? In such a massive cycle for meme coins, they've had an okay cycle, right? They haven't like massively done that well. So they do generally have periods of outperformance and underperformance, and some of them go to zero. Like, you do have to be always cognizant of that with these sorts of assets. I do think the comparison with NFTs is a little bit tough, because CryptoPunks have 3,000 holders, right? Or 3,500. Bored Apes have like 5,000. Doge has millions. SHIB has millions. I think Pepe has about 300,000, nearly 400,000. Like, they are much bigger communities, and they can support much bigger market caps on the back of that as well. I do think that we're entering a phase here of like meme, and this is partly just the way that crypto is, because it's been kind of handcuffed by the lack of utility. Meme coins continue to be the right product market fit. And what Santi said, like, this is the age of gambling, right? Like, here, people are also here just to try and make money. I think the tokenization of crypto culture is always going to be, of internet culture is going to be always one of the best use cases of crypto. Like, it's been showing it cycle in, cycle out. I think this cycle, it's kind of, we've all coalesced around memes, and maybe that continues for the next few cycles. Like, we've obviously had Pump.Farm, which has meant this has gone absolutely crazy. Even the goat thing is just kind of interesting, though, as well. Like, just internet culture being tokenized, I think, is always going to be there for crypto. I think you have to be very, very careful about the assets that you back multi-cycle. And even multi-cycle, they may not even be great trades. But But I do think they're here to stay, and that they are going to be good investments.
Okay, so do you think that that this meme of a goat, the goat meme, which is allegedly being supported by an AI terminal, and I say allegedly because of the spelling mistake that happened this week, where everyone said, "Oh, well, it's not really an AI because the AI wouldn't have made a spelling mistake." I mean, is this a good one to buy at $775 million market cap?
Can I just qualify something there?
Yes, sir.
Well, there was a huge drawdown from like $500 million to like $200 million because of this. It made a mistake group. It misspelled group in one of the tweets. Andy, who's like the parent of this AI, supervising it in some ways and determining the weights, he said, it's been trained on crypto Twitter data and 4chan data and like Reddit data. So it is actually meant to, like, the more it is being trained on that, it will become more human than AI. And so, but yeah, I guess there was fought around that, but that was his response. Now, whether yes. you want to believe it or not, he's actually the one that's tweeting it and there's no AI behind it. Well, that's for you to decide.
So I know some of you got in early. I got in relatively early here. Santi, I know you got in relatively early here. It's nearly at a $1 billion market cap. Is it time to maybe take profits on this thing?
Let me paint you the bearish picture and the bullish picture. So the bearish picture is we've seen a few memes run like this to $1 billion. They get the Binance futures listing. They die. The way that Solana memes are is we have 150,000 new memes every single week, and dilution can be pretty hard. The actual so this is just an AI model which they basically jailbreaked, and they've fed it a bunch of 4chan data and crypto Twitter data. And it knows the history of memes, right? And it got obsessed with this goat meme. And although it does get obsessed with other memes as well, like this, it could move on at some stage in the future and maybe like, oh, I like this meme now. So you have to be cognizant of that. Like it did not create this token. It just endorsed this token that was created, right? So maybe there's a future where it's bearish and maybe it moves away, or we don't like the truth terminal anymore. And maybe it all just falls apart on the back of that. The other side of this is that maybe, and I don't know if you saw, there was an interview with the A16Z founders this week, actually, just a few days ago. And, yes. and this is the first intersection that we've kind of seen of AI and crypto. We've had some tokens before this, which is Turbo, but this is the first time we've really seen like an AI agent, so to speak, come in and form a currency around it. And my personal view as well is that just what we've seen over the last even weeks, right? Claude came out with a model yesterday where they can control your PC, they can control your cursor now with an AI agent. I think we're about to see a world where in the next 1 to 2 years, maybe even sooner, we start to see AI agents start to account for a huge amount of what the activity that we see on chain.
I think part of the reason blockchain is one of the most exciting technologies in the world is exactly because of what you're saying, because the future is going to be driven by AI agents. AI agents aren't going to use credit cards. They're just going to transfer digital currency from one person to another. For me, the more exciting thing about what Truth Terminal is doing is it is shilling a token that is a meme coin which has no fundamental value. And I'll put that in inverted commas based on our previous discussion. But what's the difference between that and actually getting it to research Ethereum versus Solana and then, you know, forming an opinion on Ethereum versus Solana and then deciding to shill Ethereum or Solana based on the outcomes? And so I think the future for me, the reason why I'm loving this experiment so much is let's see how smart the Truth Terminal can be and how human-like the Truth Terminal can be and how well can it actually interact with humans, right? And convince humans to either do things or not do things. So that's the part that really excites me about this is agents doing real research and then actually guiding humans through purchase decisions based on the research that they've done.
100%. And look, what I think here, whether you think this goes to zero or not, I think a bunch of AI research has just realized that this is a playground to make money for different experiments. And that suddenly, like, if AI up until now, the LLMs that have been out there are kind of like the internet, there was no real money added to them. And suddenly we start to get maybe new sort of interfaces, more like ChatGPT interfaces where you say, hey, can you make these 10 payments for me? Can you research what the best crypto is to earn out of the top 10? Could you trade for me based on these technical indicators? Exactly. I want to make 50% this year, right? Think about that world and then think about GOAT. Think about that it's got this first narrative of this now. And then you start to think, wow, this could actually be kind of a defining coin. Because it's not like all the other, like Mudeng was the last one that kind of had a bit of a run, but that was just another cute animal. This is not like that. This is actually slightly different, and it's got quite a unique story, and I think it could actually keep going here.
Oh, yeah. That was my thesis. It just felt quite differentiated. You never want to compete, and attention is what meme coins go for, and there's a plethora of animal coins, but there are not. This is very differentiated. As you said, it's a fascinating experiment. It could be, as I heard one of you guys say, could be a flash in the pan. It could decide to dump all the tokens and like retire. It sort of intimated like I'm ready to go and buy a farm. And like, well, what happens if they decide to dump? I'm actually just fascinated by it. That's why I bought it. I'm like, I just want to pay attention to it. But I guess super bullish case is that I would actually be interested in seeing the rotation of capital maybe from a lot of the AI coins like Tau. And clearly those have done well this cycle. And there's a lot of excitement as an AI as a category. Might go attract a lot of that capital because,
Let me throw something at you. If I wanted to invest in the infrastructure that powers these agents in crypto. So in other words, like I'm bullish on multiple truth terminals doing multiple things in the crypto industry. That's what I'm really bullish on. Okay, now under the assumption that was my thesis, what would I invest in crypto? Because I've been racking my brain. Like the one narrative is this decentralized GPU stuff. Truth is, and I understand that all the agents need training, but the decentralized GPU ain't gonna jump. I looked at a play called Spectre or Spectral.ai, which is a bunch of AI agents that do investing, et cetera, et cetera. Interesting, but it's sort of $700 million market cap or $800 million market cap. So it becomes less interesting. If I wanted to get exposure to, my thesis is agents will power everything. Help me invest in the agents will power everything narrative today in crypto. Where should I put my chips?
By Solana. That's why Solana's been outperforming, right? Like you buy the L1s, but all this activity is going to have happening. I think maybe people say Sui is also like a good programming language written in a way because it's object based that would suit these sort of AI agents as well. But I think the L1s are probably the like that you can sleep at night knowing they're going to a lot of their value is going to accrue there.
Go.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can get hell bent on trying to find the specific tech that drives it, or you can just pick the roads in which it will get built on. Like, I think that's the
all roads lead. All roads lead to Solana. You guys are going to make me do irresponsible things and have a portfolio that's 100% Solana, and then I'm going to be left with another Luna. Help me, okay, Santi.
Let me just say one thing. I think what is perhaps more interesting about this whole experiment is that given this grant from Mark Andreessen of $50K. This bot decided that the most productive use of its resources, including this grant, was to go and endorse in this meme coin that exists in Solana.
Okay, fair enough.
Here, humans, cognitively inferior species. And this bot that is just computationally, whether you want to believe it or not, superior. Like, just think about that for a minute.
Okay.
We've been talking about memes. We've been talking about ecosystems. Like, there's a lot of signal. It could have done a lot of things with that.
But then I could retort to that. I could say, okay, so the bot decided to promote a meme coin on Solana. What the bot decided to do, I read a tweet that he said the first thing that the truth terminal decided to do was steal Murad's job. So
yeah, the first.
It's like I want to be an influencer. That's what I want to be. I want to be an influencer.
What Santi said there, though, it kind of goes back to the point that I said earlier, which is you can't actually do that much in crypto right now. We could say, hey, AI agents, go and like do the most productive thing you can do in crypto. And a lot of the time they'll be doing like illegal stuff. Like, you can't add utility to certain things that they can do. Memes is actually one of the cleanest things AI could come in here and do. And this is one of the first one to do it. You can do payments. They could do that very well. You could get like DeFi yield optimizers, like, hey, go find me the best yield on my stable coins, that sort of stuff. But actually, shilling and creating memes is kind of one of the first things that I think they are going to come in here and do.
Wow. Okay. Sure. Okay, cool. So we've got like 10 more minutes. And in the 10 more minutes, I really want to dig into like things are exciting you guys when it comes to investments. So I think the way to frame it is to say, look, I really need money to park my ETH somewhere. I can't put it in Solana. I can't put it into Bitcoin. Help me park my ETH. Okay. And let's assume that it's a reasonable amount of money. I'm not putting it into memes. I'm not putting it into Solana, and I'm not putting it into Bitcoin. What else should I be looking at? I know you're all investors and you're all everywhere. And I'm really trying to get to understand. Surely you're not only investing in memes, Solana, and Bitcoin.
Maybe also by Coinbase stock, because that was also something that we were all going to say here. So you want to remove that from the possibility?
Yeah, let's remove that too. Just because
that's the answer.
Solana DeFi. Santi said that before. I think some of those trades, like Camino, I think is a good one. Like there's a few of these which are decent trades there, because I think a lot of the DeFi activity has moved there, and I think those coins are actually traded quite low FTVs versus the ETH counterparts. They look okay. I think also DeFi is kind of an election trade, like I just said. Like maybe you get more regulation come through, maybe you get tokenization happen, maybe Jupiter is able to tokenize the whole world and put it all on chain. Like you get kind of a bullish case there, but I do think that'll happen on Sol again.
Okay. Santi?
I mean,
is Cosmos dead? Is Sui deemed? Is Cosmos dead? Is Sui deemed to?
Man, I've lost so much money in Cosmos. I love fascinating tech. It's just they don't sell a product, and you have to sell a product. They're not good storytellers. They have really good tech. IBC is fascinating, but So no, I wouldn't touch Cosmos. The thing that I can tell you projects I'm excited about, but it's all about the price you're getting them at. I'm just a firm believer. You can buy a really good asset at a terrible price. It's not going to make for a good investment. You can buy a shitty asset.
So walk me through some good assets that you feel are reasonable.
Actually, I don't know because I spend more time in the venture side of things, but here's a project that I don't own today that I'm paying a lot of attention to that I potentially can think has this. You always want to invest in what creates a new category, and just like for me it was Aave way back in the day. Like Aave, you could have argued Maker, but Maker's Aave just became the primary money market in Ethereum and just ballooned right over. It was just one of the best trades I've done, investments I should say. I think Deepin is the most one of if not the most exciting thing that is going to happen to crypto over the next 5 years.
Yeah, it is fair point.
Probably going to be the primary narrative of this cycle because it is so in your face. We've never had that moment for crypto. No one can argue with a Helium data plan, or a wireless network that is a fifth of the price and and equal service. Now, is Helium a good investment? I don't know. I need to spend more time, but it's trading at, let's see, about fully. I look at always FTV. It's like
me too.
It's like 1 billion. It hovers around 1 billion, right? 1.2. Fully diluted. The market cap is 1.2. Fully diluted is 1.6. So there's a fair amount of tokens in circulation. You don't have this problem of token unlocks that a lot of the, other earlier projects have. So there's a lot of that sell pressure is largely gone. I'm paying a lot of attention to Care offloading, the number of hotspots. I think it's just fascinating what's going on. I could see this project go into tens of billions of dollars if it actually really worked. There's a path for... So definitely, I see a path for Helium to becoming a multiples where it is today. I need to see more revenue come in. There's a couple of things that have held me on the fence, but it is it's in the top of the list. It's a project I constantly monitor. I'm not endorsing it right now because
excellent.
Yeah, I'll stop the ramble. But I don't know if you've looked at it or anyone here has any opinions on it.
So I was an investor in Multicoin's early funds, and I think they had a very big position in Helium. So indirectly, I landed up being holding a bag of Helium through the Multicoin funds. And I think that you got to give it to Kyle and to Shah. Those guys have the ability, or they certainly around Deepin had the ability to see around corners. Ovi, help me, bro. Got some ETH money. Gotta get rid of my ETH money, bro.
That my trading and investment mantra is just to keep it simple. And if one of my mates asked me this question, they're like, oh, I have all this stuff. What else can I invest in? I just think my alarm bells will ring in my head. And I would think over diversification. So I think if you really like Bitcoin and it's doing well, just buy more Bitcoin, or just buy more Sol, or just buy more memes. And that's how I'm set up. Like, I just, if I have spare capital, I'll increase position size and increase concentration.
All right. I give up. You got, I see where you guys are taking this. You want to go to memes? Let's go to memes. Now, because you want to go to, because every time I take a discussion anywhere else, we land up back at memes. Cool. Let's talk about memes. I need three memes from each of you that you think I should put into my basket of memes. Because now you've convinced me that I'm going to take some of my ETH money and I'm going to put it into memes. And next cycle, you'll know whether you're, next cycle, whether you're invited back to the show or not will depend on how well you're called it. It's like when you're invited back to dinner. So let's talk about memes. Which memes are you bullish on? Let's go around once. Maybe Ovi, since you told me that, you know, memes is the way to go, what memes should I be looking at then?
Yeah, look, I like Mando, I like the idea of ETH memes, because rather than on Solana where you have a choice of dozens, potentially hundreds, on ETH you really have a choice of like 3 to 5, possibly 10, which are established. And one that I am pretty bullish on is Mog. I've held it for well over a year, but I think established community, being through multiple drawdowns, largely well owned, I'm a believer of the Murad thesis. I think it's a pure cult coin, and I like that market cap range of like 600 to 800 million, because you have that potential like 3 to 5x or more upside in it, but you have that safety net of it. Not safety net, it's a meme coin, but you have some comfort that it's an established coin. So that would be my number one pick.
All right, so Mug number one. Give me one more. Come on, one more. You can dig deep, bro. Dig deep.
depends how deep you want me to go. I've got
deep, bro. Go deep, bro. Go
closet
deep.
Closet of dicey memes. Well, the other one that I'll say, and I'll say it just because I'll probably do a better job at showing the Mando world, but is the Epic Duck, which is a coin that Mando himself actually founded. But same thesis, like, I know it's not going to get rugged. It's a coin on Solana that has like, what, 20 million market cap or something like that. And you have a real person behind it who I actually know in real life, who is pushing this thing pretty aggressively as the first ever gaming meme coin, which I think is pretty hilarious.
I'm so scared of meme coins that are linked to people. No offense. It's just, I'm so scared of meme coins where you know the founder or they're linked to humans, because I feel that the value of the meme coin can never go higher than the value of the human. That's my problem. Not to say that you don't have value, bro, but I just think that the reason why Bitcoin has so much value is because it's got more value than Craig Wright, who claimed he was Satoshi. You know what I mean? So
Every religion has a martyr. So if you want to become a cult, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think that you make a point, and I think I saw you catch some heat on the timeline the other day. We're talking about Murad, right? Like, Murad's in a catch 22 here, that the moment he sells, suddenly people will turn on him. And I even see this now, because like, even on this, there's been a little bit of a sell-off in the last couple of weeks in some of these meme coins. And some of his like less high conviction trades haven't done that well. And I can kind of see that all of those are just around him. And he's like the savior of all these coins. And I don't think that's an amazing setup for some of these. That being said, like, if Murad's you've been around, tokens, you probably know.
Murad's wallets on meme coins are the equivalent of Satoshi's wallet on Bitcoin. If he moves one token out of his SPX holding, the big holding on his SPX, everyone is going to run for the door, like a bunch of starving people in a nightclub where there's one pizza outside, and they're all going to rush to try and get their slice of that pizza, and it's going to be ugly when that happens. And it's going to happen, because as much as you say, look, he's allowed to take profits, and you know, no one ever, you know, let the guy take profits. It's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen like that.
he's a fairly small holder. The counter argument, I do agree that is the most likely outcome, but the fact that Zach kind of exposed, so to speak, his wallets was actually probably the best thing that could have happened to this meme.
Sure.
But in a scenario where SPX really runs, like, he only holds 1% of the supply, I think, or maybe one or three, I forget.
I guess three,
maybe
three, yeah.
3%. Mm-hmm. It's not like a ton. Now, yeah.
All right. So Amanda, your two meme coins first, and then Santi, I'm coming to you, sir.
I'll pitch you Goat again. I think Goat, honestly, I think it could go, I could do a 10x even from here. It may even do more. Like, sure. That's because I see the next year. WIF went to just shy of 5 billion, right, in 6 months, 7 months. Like, yeah. If in 12 months AI and crypto continues to increase at this sort of pace, I think it's got a really unique narrative, more than just a dog on a chain. And I think it has Truth Terminal, and we've just said, like, maybe that does some dodgy stuff. Like, maybe it sells. Maybe it goes and buys a farm. It's obsessed with forests, all this sort of random stuff. Like,
but maybe that's the fun of the game. Maybe that's the fun of the game. Maybe the whole fun of the game is trying to work out when Truth Terminal is going to fuck out again. Like, that could be the fun of the game, you know? Like,
just did 75x a short. Like, you can play around with this one if you want to fuck with it. But yeah, look, I think that one's an interesting one. I think out of the medium, it's at 700 million now. Like, yeah, maybe that one could keep going. I think the one on Solana, other than that, would be, which is decently sized and is a Murad meme, but I think is strong without that. I would say is Giga. I just think like that's a strong Giga meme chat, that can keep on going.
Okay, it's like good call. Santi, two more minutes and two more calls from you, sir.
Look, none of this financial advice, right? Do your own fucking work. But
you can't talk about a meme and then also say not financial advice, because it's like memes are here and your finances are here.
The Kanye meme.
No. Look, I'm not. It's not hand wavy. It's just important. People want simple answers. Go do the work. That's all I'm saying, right? I'm always very cautious, and what I own today, I could sell tomorrow. But anyways, that out of the way, I hope it's abundantly clear. I find GOAT quite interesting for the same reasons that Mando mentioned. I do own it, and I think it has a interesting fan of returns. AI is, as a category, very mimetic, and it's going to be huge, and it's very correlated to NVIDIA and Tau and all that stuff. It has a ton of risk because Mando went into it, so I won't. So GOAT one. Two, I think WIF is the most established meme in Solana. You could argue Bonk, but it has sell pressure. I don't like it for that reason. I think WIF is more organic, and I think this can become what SHIB has done for ETH. It can become the prevalent dog coin in Solana. We're all bullish. I'm bullish Solana. This is a levered bet on Solana without liquidation risk and ample liquidity. So for those reasons, I think it's a dominant dog coin in Solana. And I'm going to pick the most dominant cat coin in Solana too, because I think there was a convergence between cat coins and dog coins. So I don't like cats. Popcat would be my pick. I own all three of them, full disclosure, and I know other coins. But I do think that the relative trade and catch-up trade between a Popcat, like Popcat has done actually really, really well recently. But yeah, the things that I'd look at is how GOAT performs relative to Tau and some of the other like memeable like coins. Obviously go follow Terminal of Truths on Twitter and have alerts if he decides to sell, you know, wallet. And yeah, the other one with the downside there is people associated too much with Ansem, and Ansem has gone through certain evolutions like Andre did, like, you know,
main character syndrome, and it happens every time. And Murad's going to do the same thing. Because he's the main character now, and that just happens.
Yeah, the fourth I'll cheat is I actually still like SPX because it's quite differentiated. It's, as you think about new entrants coming into the space, they probably, yeah, they like these cats and they're cute and whatever, dog with hat. But like, there's something very memeable about investing in the S&P 500. Most people can't do it structurally through their own portfolio in the private markets. It's like how it's like the game of how high can it go? You know, it's like.
I got it. All right, listen, guys. We're out of time completely. Much love to you guys. Thank you for the amazing, amazing, amazing alpha. We'll see you guys again very soon. Remember, you're not invited back if your meme coins go down, and if your meme coins go up, you'll be back here.
Ryan, I will definitely be wrong. So it's great knowing you. Thank you very much. Hopefully, I see you.
Sending you much love, brother. And yeah, to you guys, thank you very much. Amazing, amazing alpha. What a great way to end the week. I will see you guys again over the weekend. I'm going to bring you a weekend stream. Until then. Trade well, my friends.